I'm attempting to, so I'm not tethered to my computer. I was going to switch and call in on my iPhone, and I hit the one tap mobile and it attempts to call, but it doesn't work. I have blockers turned on Safari, but that's why it's not working.
If you
Oh.
go to the Safari webpage, I've had that happen a few times. If you just click OK, it takes you past the Safari webpage and it puts you on to the page you want to be on, and then you can just go down and you can find the phone numbers to call in.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you're on this the Safari page. Sometimes if you double tap and hold on that, then you get the little pop-up says call, what do you want to do with that?
I want to know if anybody uses the Bank of America mobile app. And if they do, they have a relatively new feature which allows you to go to an ATM machine. And before you get there, you can set up a planned withdrawal of a specific amount of cash from a specific account that you choose. When you use this app, it's set up in your Apple Wallet, and you have your debit card in your wallet, and when you go, you can use it to get into a kiosk. It'll open the door for you. And when you go to the machine, if you can find the place where to put your phone, it will activate the ATM. And then theoretically, all you have to do is enter your password on the physical keyboard, and it will then recognize your transaction and spit out the cash without you having to go through. Obviously, using the control screen is not possible if you can't see, or having to plug in headphones. So it seemed like a great feature, and I tried it out when it first came out, and I was unable to use it. And I've called Bank of America's technology group, and I'm still waiting to hear back from them about why I can't, why it's not working. And I actually used it with an officer at a local branch, and they were not able to make it work. So I don't think it was user error. I got into the kiosk, and then when I got to the machine, the machine did recognize my phone, and I chose the account. I have two cards on in my wallet. I chose the correct card, the debit card, which you have to use. It activated the machine, and my phone said, well, it said, cannot process this transaction, is all I could get to.
I have tried that same scenario occurred when I've tried it.
My suspicion is that that's not fully activated yet behind the scenes, yeah.
I've noticed in recent weeks or months that Google Chrome has been like glacially slow in loading, especially sort of the first time you go in. And I've had some sighted people looking over my shoulder and they see it, they say that it appears, at least in terms of JAWS getting to start talking, really slow.
Google, and this happens if you are signed into Google Chrome with your Gmail account. A lot of times you just add stuff to it, like a bookmarks and cookies and all sorts of stuff. But sometimes if you just reset the whole thing, it helps and re-log back in. I've had that happen as well. But if it's glacially slow, does this happen with any other browser or any other internet connected piece of software on the computer, or is this just
Well,
Chrome?
Firefox is misbehaving a bit too, but with things that I'll try is Alt tab away from the page and Alt tab back to it, and that helps sometimes. I've also sort of started clearing the cache.
You mean if you go to like, was it speedtest.com or one of those, just Google speed test, you could actually kind of see what throughput you're getting actually down to your computer,
Oh, that's an idea.
which is a lot more useful than, testing it in your router. So if that looks okay, then kind of look for other reasons. But also, if you have another computer on your local network, you could compare with that as well. And if you find it's just limited to one computer, then maybe you should look a little deeper into, like you said, browser cache, that type of thing, hard drive issues, or paging if you have that, if you don't have too much memory, malware, all the usual suspects. But
Well, Dave, I have a question for you. You said I use Firefox as my default browser, and I've been recently, it seems to be very, I don't know, finicky. And I was wondering if anybody else is having problems with Firefox's its most current version.
I did clear the cache, and that seemed to have helped in Firefox because at some point I was getting kicked out all the time, and just very weird things happening. That seemed to have helped.
I wonder if anybody can recommend a accessible speed test app, for like Wi-Fi speed testing. I've been having Wi-Fi issues lately with just my phone, like things aren't loading properly and stuff like that.
There's an app called Speedtest. It's fully accessible. It's made by Ookla, O-O-K-L-A. It's gotten rave reviews on AppleViz. It's been around for a very long time. It will test based on your current location in the closest speed test server location. So, for example, right now it's using Xfinity servers to perform that speed test in my case, and it's very, very accessible.
I'm a Vario Ultra user, and I'm just wondering if anyone knows anything about Baum and whether there's anyone sort of continuing with the Vario.
The last I heard was that the company was, Baum was bought by another company in Germany, and I have not seen any further, if you're looking for like further developments and updates, I don't know of any of those. People who have had issues and require repair of their units, last I knew, they had to send it to Germany and that it took months to get anything back. The only thing I might suggest to you, you could, if you can find the latest version of the software, you could re-download it. Sometimes that helps.
I have an iPad. A while ago, I was able to get text messages from non-iPhone users, but now it seems like I haven't been getting those anymore. Is there a way that I can re-enable that?
Kelsey, I think the way it was working was that you probably had handoff enabled. And what that does is that if you get something coming from your iPhone, you know, it could be a text message. Actually, I think it even works with phone calls. It will Bluetooth it out to other devices within range. A, you would have to be in Bluetooth range. I mean, this would have to work. Like if you're at home, it would work. But also handoff has to be enabled on all the devices. I think it may have been handoff. And I think maybe if you go into all your devices and make sure it's enabled, that might re-enable that.
Okay, because I am getting phone calls on my iPad. I have a few people, like my dad, who is an Android user. And for whatever reason, his text messages are not coming to my iPad, but I am getting phone calls.
And there may actually be some granular settings in handoff to actually regulate what you can and cannot do. So.
Okay, question regarding Comcast. I have Comcast for phone and internet. They have just jacked up my bill to $114 a month. All my discounts ran out. I've been renting their router for $14 a month. So I think it's time for me to buy one. So I went on their website where they tell you which router you're supposed to buy. And basically I have a choice of one. So I was a little bit suspicious that their website may be out of date. So I called the manufacturer. I got him on the phone, and the modem that Comcast is recommending isn't even listed on the manufacturer's website. They have a much newer model that they say works with Comcast. That's what they're recommending. I have yet to get back to Comcast to see if they'll take this model. In the meantime, my technician is saying, oh, just go on eBay and buy a piece of junk for $30. It works just fine. So I'm wondering how many of you own your own cable modem and what your experience has been and how long they expect to last.
Jeffrey, just to be clear, are we talking about a modem, a router, or both in one box? What do you...
Everything is in one box. It's the Wi-Fi, even the phone system. Everything is in one box.
Okay, yeah, okay. I actually rent mine, and the reason being is that I have a business account, and to buy it would be thousands of dollars, so I'm not really pissed to ask. But maybe, I know there's other people here that do have Comcast. They want to chime in when not they rent or buy.
The modem I'm looking at is about $180. It would pay for itself in 1 year.
I have not personally bought a cable modem in probably 20 years. Again, what you lose there is if you lose the ability to call them up and say, look, it's broken, come, you know, fix it.
Yeah. Well, what they have told me is if the thing breaks, I can immediately go back to renting one of theirs again.
The thing that complicates this is the phone service. If you just had internet, then this would be really simple. The phone service sort of adds some complexity to what modem to purchase, and that's where things get a little tricky. I think you're going to get, if you're just talking about internet, you're going to get your best results from a networking standpoint by purchasing a cable modem and a router that are independent of each other, because you're going to be able to then be more selective on, you know, getting hardware that best meets your specific needs. How large of a home do you have?
About 670 something.
Again, if you're only talking about internet, then it gets much simpler. I have always purchased the Motorola brand of modems. They tend to be, the chipset in them tends to be more reliable and more performant. So I would try to look and see if there is a Motorola brand that will allow for both phone and internet.
This is Amy. I just will give you one caveat about buying a modem. If you ever, because I used to have a separate router and I had my own modem and all that. And what I found was that if I did happen to need tech support and I called Comcast and I told them that I did not have their modem, they were not very willing to provide support.
Well, they have already told me that they can do basic look-see inside my device. It can be some information, but less thorough than if I had their machine.
I'm thinking of possibly getting the new iPhone, and I traditionally had always gone to the Apple store, which I can't, and like I'm getting contradictory info about whether I'd have to pay $30 in activation with AT&T, you know, because they said on the toll-free number, yes, but other people are saying no.
Here's what you can do. You can buy directly from Apple, you know, without going to the Apple store. You could go to, you know, the online Apple store. You can even call them. I assume you have an existing AT&T account. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just asking if there is a activation fee for it. Usually, I've been able to get them to waive that, but it depends on what's going on. I mean, sometimes you get the right person. That's hit or miss, but I've had better luck to be able to directly to Apple than I would to one of the providers like AT&T or Verizon. Yeah.
This is Mika. I actually went through the flow yesterday on the Apple site as if I was going to buy an iPhone, you know, the new SE. And it for AT&T, it did quote the $30, $35 activation fee. So it normally quote, I mean, you might be able to call in and have it waived, but it was quoting it through the Apple site.
The other thing you could do is if you call AT&T and ask for retentions, just say that you think about upgrading your phone and then at the same time moving to the better carrier and you got some good quotes. Is there anything they could do for you? Maybe they won't waive the activation fee, but maybe you get $30 off your bill in some other way like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's also true for the person whose rates went up on Comcast. You should always call their retention department. A lot of times you'll get your bill reduced.
I was going to say that with Comcast, I've done this myself. You can do it like every 6 months. And if you use, you know, the right language, but you have to talk to the retention department and tell them that you're thinking of either changing providers, or if you only have Comcast in your area, that you're thinking of lowering your package because it's cost too much and they've raised your rates. And I've done this a few times and they've given me $15 off. One time they gave me $20 off, but I've done it numerous times, but you have to do it at least every 6 months.
The other thing, Jeff, that you might want to know about is on Comcast is that right now they're waiving the fees for unlimited data. So there's no longer a cap on Comcast until I believe the end of May, I believe.
I want to make some audio recordings from possibly a PC that I could create in an MP3 or M4, whatever those different audio programs are, files. Anybody have any recommendations, something easy to use?
Virtual recorder?
Yeah, virtual recorder is the one. It's extremely simple to use, very accessible, and it'll do everything you want it to do.